from Jakarta, Indonesia. Here is Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our program through shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz. Online streaming, voanews.id, and RRI Digital Mobile Application. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. From
Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. Welcome to the English service of Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republik Indonesia. This is Rahma on the mic, who will be presenting you various updates, information, programs, music, everything's taking you closer to Indonesia. From the news, we'll be continuing with quotes of the day. And also we have interesting programs such as Indonesian Wonder, Let's Speak Indonesian, and Music Corner. So stay tuned on voanews.id, RRI Digital Mobile App, and also shortwave frequency 3325 and 4755 kHz. But first, as always, let's begin with the news. This is Voice of Indonesia with the news first, the headline. Indonesia rejects Israel's plan to build defense complex on former UNRWA headquarters site. Indonesia appreciates strengthening strategic cooperation with Azerbaijan. Here is the news in detail. Indonesian government has firmly rejected Israel's plan to build a Ministry of Defense complex on the former site of the United Nations Relief and Works Agency for Palestine Refugees in the Near East, or UNRWA, headquarters in East Jerusalem. Spokesperson for the Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Vat Nabil Mulacela, said in Jakarta on Thursday, the plan is part of Israel's move to strengthen its occupation of Palestinian territory. According to Nabil, locations used by UNRWA enjoy immunity and privileges under the mandate of the United Nations and therefore must be respected by all parties.
Kita Indonesia menolak tegas.
Yes, Indonesia firmly rejects Israel's measures to strengthen its occupation of Palestinian land. There is already a mandate from the United Nations that the locations currently used by UNRWA have immunity, and we must respect that immunity and those privileges.
Dan kita harus menghormati imunitas tersebut dan privilege tersebut.
Earlier, the Israeli government was reported to have approved the construction of a Ministry of Defense complex on the former UNRWA headquarters site near Ammunition Hill in East Jerusalem. Israel's Ministry of Defense and the Jerusalem municipality said the complex will be built on 36 dunams of land, or around 3.6 hectares. The complex is expected to include a new Israeli military museum, a recruitment office, and the office of the Israeli Defense Minister. Indonesia appreciates the strengthening of strategic cooperation with Azerbaijan, which continues to develop across various sectors, including employment, human resource development, investment, education, and cultural exchange. The appreciation was conveyed by Manpower Minister Yasir Li during the commemoration of the 108th anniversary of Azerbaijan's independence in Jakarta. Ofra Regina has the detail.
Indonesia appreciates the growing strength of its strategic cooperation with Azerbaijan, case relations between the two countries, which have been established since 1992, are considered to have continued developing, not only in the political sector, but also in investment, education, employment, human resource development, and cultural exchange. The appreciation was highlighted during the commemoration of the 108th anniversary of Azerbaijan's independence held in Jakarta on Thursday. Manpower Minister Yasir Lee said Indonesia welcomes stronger cooperation with Azerbaijan, particularly in the areas of employment and human resource development. According to him, the cooperation is important in responding to the increasingly dynamic challenges of the world of work. He said Indonesia and Azerbaijan both need to prepare a resilient, adaptive, and globally competitive workforce.
Indonesia welcomes closer cooperation with Azerbaijan in strategic areas, including strengthening social security systems, vocational education and training, youth employment skill development, labor market enhancement, and the social protection of migrant workers. These priorities are essential as both our countries continue preparing resilient, adaptive, and globally competitive workforce.
Yasir Lee also said Azerbaijan has a strategic position as a connector between Europe, Central Asia, the Caucasus, and the Middle East. He said this position is becoming increasingly relevant amid the continuously evolving global geopolitical dynamics. Meanwhile, Azerbaijan's ambassador to Indonesia, Ramil Rezaev Abil Oglu, said Azerbaijan is opening wider investment opportunities for Indonesia, particularly in the Karabakh and eastern Zangezur regions, which are currently being redeveloped after the conflict. According to him, the areas are now being developed with various modern facilities, including industrial parks, agro parks, and smart villages. Therefore, Azerbaijan sees great opportunities for Indonesian companies to explore investment potential in the regions.
The liberated regions of Karabakh and eastern Zangezur are now open to international investment. With modern industrial parks, agro parks, and smart villages under development, these areas offer vast potential for Indonesian companies. Education and cultural exchange continue to be vital pillars of our bilateral relations.
There's Ambassador Ramil also emphasized that Azerbaijan pays great attention to strengthening bilateral relations with Indonesia, or cooperation between the two countries, he said, continues to grow through political dialogue, economic cooperation, education, and culture. The commemoration of the 108th anniversary of Azerbaijan's independence also served as a reminder that relations between Indonesia and Azerbaijan have lasted for more than three decades. The two countries also continue to strengthen cooperation in various international forums, including the Organization of Islamic Cooperation, or OIC, and the D8 Organization for Economic Cooperation, Hachul Uspaingu.
Moving on to Indonesian Foreign Minister Sugiono, who is scheduled to make a working visit to New York, the United States, to attend the open debate of the United Nations Security Council. This was conveyed by spokesperson of the Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Yvonne Mewengkang, during a press briefing in Jakarta on Thursday. She said the forum will discuss efforts to strengthen the international system based on the purposes and principles of the UN Charter.
As part of the foreign minister's agenda in the near future, the minister will undertake a working visit to New York to attend the UN Security Council open debate themed Upholding the Purpose and Principles of the UN Charter and Strengthening the UN Standard International System.
Yvonne explained the presence of the Indonesian foreign minister at the forum is important as the world is currently facing various challenges. These include increasing geopolitical rivalry, prolonged conflicts, and the selective application of international law. According to her, these conditions have also eroded trust in the global order and the effectiveness of multilateralism. Therefore, Indonesia considers it important to strengthen the international system based on the UN Charter. Indonesian Ministry of Environment or Environmental Control Agency, together with the Government of the Republic of Korea and the Global Green Growth Institute, launched the ASEAN-Korea Cooperation for Methane Mitigation Project in Jakarta on Thursday. Minister of Environment Muhammad Jumhur Hidayat said, "The project is an important step for Indonesia in strengthening green diplomacy in the ASEAN region." According to him, the cooperation is also part of the government's concrete efforts to reduce methane emissions, particularly from the waste management, has now become one of the priorities in the National Climate Action Agenda. This is because around 63% of waste in landfills consists of organic material, which has the potential to generate emissions of up to 21 million tons of carbon dioxide equivalent. Through this project, Indonesia and ASEAN member states will promote a greener, more sustainable, and low-emission waste management system. Palestinian Ambassador to Indonesia Abdul Fattah Ahmed Khalil Al-Sattari welcomed humanitarian aid from the Indonesian people distributed through the National Arms Agency, or BASNAS. Abdul Fattah made the statement during a humanitarian aid ceremony titled "Healing Palestine's Wounds" in Jakarta on Thursday. According to Abdul Fattah, Indonesia's support means a great deal to the Palestinian people, especially the people of Gaza, who continue to face a humanitarian crisis due to the prolonged conflict. He expressed appreciation for the solidarity of the Indonesian people who continue to support Palestine through donations, advocacy, and humanitarian work on the ground. We end the news with the Indonesian government that will begin implementing the zero over-dimension overloading or zero ODOL policy on January 1, 2027. The policy is prepared to reduce traffic accidents, minimize road damage, and build a safer and more orderly freight transportation system. Rizka Fadila has the full report.
The Indonesian government plans to implement the zero over-dimension overloading or zero ODOL policies starting January 1, 2027. The policy is aimed at regulating freight vehicles carrying loads that exceed the permitted dimensions and capacity. Deputy for Connectivity Coordination at the Coordinating Ministry for Infrastructure and Regional Development, Odo R.M. Manuhutu, said the zero ODOL policy is an important step to reduce traffic accidents while also minimizing road damage caused by overloaded trucks. Odo made the statement during the socialization and public hearing on the Indonesia Zero ODOL 2027 policy in Bandung Thursday, May 21st. According to him, the ODOL issues not only affects the transportation sector but also public safety and the national economy.
Facts on the ground show that the impact of ODOL is multidimensional. From a vehicle safety perspective, ODOL is a major contributor to traffic accidents.
Odo explained that the implementation of zero ODOL is projected to bring positive long-term impacts. In addition to improving road safety, this policy is also expected to boost logistic operational efficiency by up to 42.4 trillion rupiah, as well as contribute around 0.05% to economic growth. He added that improving the freight transportation system could also reduce social cost by accidents such as job losses, material losses, and medical expenses borne by the public.
Therefore, improving the freight transportation system, including handling ODOL, is not just a transportation issue, but a strategic regional and national economic issue.
The government considers zero ODOL part of an effort to create a safe, orderly, efficient, and secure logistic transportation system. The policy is not only intended to freight vehicle drivers, but also to protect other road users. In its implementation, the government will also utilize technologies such as electronic traffic law enforcement and weight in motion. These technologies will be used to strengthen monitoring and improve the effectiveness of the zero odor policy in the field. Rizka Fadila reporting from Voice of Indonesia.
Well, listener, it concludes today's news bulletin from Voice of Indonesia, bringing you the latest updates from Indonesia to the world.
Of Indonesia.
menjalani kisah cinta sendiri. Cinta sendiri.
Only in Indonesia.
Bakar batu, or burning the stone, used to be just a cooking ritual for Papuans. But now, bakar batu is also done in festivals, wedding ceremony, birth celebration, or any public event. Village people will gather around, stack the stones, and light fire on the stone pile. Then they will cook sweet potatoes or pork, which are wrapped in banana leaves. After cooking, obviously, they will eat together. The meaning of bakar batu is an expression of gratitude. It is also a symbol that aims to strengthen social relations in Papua.
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast via shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz and via streaming on voanews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Voice of Indonesia.
Ku hanya mencari cinta yang takkan
Thank you for still joining us, the English program from Voice of Indonesia. Coming up next, a program that will take you closer to Indonesian art, culture, custom, food, tourist destinations, all on Indonesian Wonder.
RRA Digital with New Look. Various collaborative content from various national programs, including live visual broadcasts, live radio broadcasts, music playlists, podcasts, video news, and various users' interaction features in the game. Various interesting content such as likes, comments, and shares, as well as live chat with broadcasters and users. Direct messaging and private chat facilities between app users are also available. RRE Digital, available on Google Store and App Store. RRE Digital.
The history of the rich culture of Indonesia dates back to the Megalithic era, a ritual of a strong warrior that shows maturity, power, strength, and pride. More than just a physical ritual challenge, but also a sign of value, culture, and respect, this is Indonesia Lompat Batu Nias. Lompat Batu Nias, or stone jumping tradition from Nias Island, Indonesia, is a traditional practice specifically for young men of the Nias people, historically used as a rite of passage into adulthood. A success of jumping over the specially constructed stones indicates that the youth has achieved physical maturity, bravery, and readiness to take on societal responsibilities, including marriages and historically military role. The young people starting around ages 7 until 10, boys undergo physical training, gradually increasing jump heights to develop strength, agility, and technique. Mental preparation, including focus and overcoming fear, is equally emphasized in this one. The ritual process, which is the stone jump, is the key challenge. It is a stacked stone structure averaging 2 meters in height and 40 until 60 centimeters in thickness, sometimes shaped like a pyramidal monument with a flat top. The young man must clear it in a single jump without touching the top, ensuring a controlled landing, and those who succeed are celebrated by the community, and they are formally recognized as a man capable of adult responsibilities, symbolizing courage, power, discipline, and social maturity. Families may hold a festive in honor of the achievement. And that's all about Lompat Batu Nias. I'm Gatan from the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Voice of Indonesia.
Indonesia plays a very pivotal role in the ASEAN Blue Carbon and Finance Profiling Project that is a regional initiative that's launched by ASEAN, Japan, and UNDP to accelerate the sustainable blue economic efforts in Southeast Asia. And as the host and primary implementing country, Indonesia through UNDP Indonesia is leading the coordination of this initiative in partnership with the ASEAN Coordinating Task Force on Blue Economy. So Indonesia itself, it brings to the table its very rich blue carbon ecosystems. You name it, mangroves, seagrass, peatlands, and very extensive expertise in marine science, and which is on this project is also being harnessed through very strong collaboration with reputable institutions such as Gajah Mada University and the Jakarta-based Economic Research Institute for ASEAN and East Asia, or AREA. So the initiative is also closely aligned with Indonesia's own development priorities, particularly those related to climate mitigation and ocean sustainability. And also part of this collaboration, Indonesia supports the integration of blue carbon values into the national and regional policy frameworks.
Didn't you hear a man is moving back to Colorado? It's 2013 and the end of my life. Freshman year's about to plummet just a little harder, but it didn't cause we kissed on that Halloween night. I bleached half my hair when I saw Zoe on your vest, but it's orange from 3.
dioxide thanks to you. I needed a good cry, I headed right to Kendra's. I hated you and I hope to God that you knew. Now there's drama, found a club for that where I met ya. Had a heart attack, yada yada. At the end, yeah, we burned, made a couple U-turns. You were it till you weren't. High school in Jakarta, sort of modern Sparta. Had no chance against the teenage suburban.
Joining us, the English service of Voice of Indonesia that you can enjoy on voinews.id, RRI Digital Mobile App Channel VOI, and shortwave frequency 3325 and 4755 kHz. Listener, next we present a program that allows you to learn Indonesian language. It's only on Let's Speak Indonesia.
Hello everyone, my name is Ray, and today we're going to learn about the Indonesian alphabet. Let's begin. G, 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 which can be used for gula, gali, gigi. Let's continue. H, ha, H, ha, which can be used for helai, hari, halo. That's it for now, and see you in another episode.
Menghantui pikiranku terus. belum saatnya. Serasa ku ingin katakan pada dunia, oh, seberapa ku ingin kamu teman hidupku yang dulu kelam kau jadikan penuh makna. Tunggu sejenak ini belum saatnya. Banyak harap untukmu.
Listener, here is The Woman of Indonesia, a special series to celebrate and commemorate the Kartini Day and the amazing role of women in Indonesia. And today, we will talk about Martha Tilaar. Martha Tilaar is widely known as a leading female entrepreneur in the beauty industry in Southeast Asia. She is recognized for combining traditional Indonesian knowledge with modern methods, building a successful business empire that has lasted for decades. Martha Tilaar was born in Kebumen, Central Java on September 4, 1937. Many articles wrote that the first born of three used to be boyish. So one day, her mother brought her to an expert of traditional beauty from Yogyakarta. Her days were then spent around nature. Since then, Martha began to create accessories from plants around her, which she sold to her friends. Later, Martha paid more attention to beauty. In 1964, she studied at Academy of Beauty Culture in Indiana, United States. After graduated, Martha opened a beauty salon in the U.S. In 1969, Martha returned to Indonesia. One year later, she opened a small salon in her father's garage. Martha used the money she saved from her salon in the U.S. Martha's salon was opened in Menteng, Central Jakarta. 2 years later, Martha's salons opened another branch in South Jakarta. Later, Martha sought for knowledge about herbs, both from Europe and Indonesia. She learned from many people, including her grandma, about herbs. Martha successfully created a jamu, or herbal beverage, to support fertility,
called Kaplet Wulandari. From this moment onwards, Marta went beyond salon, but a big cosmetics and herbal company. Marta Tilaar successfully created one of the most famous local brands in Indonesia. Her products always prioritize and promote the wealth of Indonesia. This included local ingredients and knowledge about herbs. Marta Tilaar got so many awards and achievements in various sectors. She got awards from businesses, supporting small-scale industry, philanthropy, and many more. She certainly became one of the most successful businesswomen in Indonesia. From her long journey, we can understand that Marta Tilaar represents perseverance, cultural pride, and a strong commitment to empowering others, especially women, while continuously innovating without losing connection to Indonesia's rich traditions. Listener, that is today's episode of Women of Indonesia about Marta Tilaar. Stay tuned to the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Voice of Indonesia. Listeners, today's Music Corner presents a song by Rahmania Astrini. Rahmania Astrini, usually called Astri, was born on July 4, 2001 in Northampton, Massachusetts, United States. Though was born there, she is actually an Indonesian citizen. The singer and songwriter now lives in Jakarta. Her name began to be known after releasing her first single, Menua Bersama, or Growing Old Together, in 2017. After that, Astri continued to produce works that were quite well received by Indonesian music lovers. Moreover, in November 2023, she made history in her music journey by becoming the opening act for Coldplay's concert at the Gelora Bung Karno Stadium, Jakarta. On September 9, 2024, she released a new single with English lyrics entitled Love Me Like You. This love theme song was written by Rahmania Astrini with Tricia Clarissa and Fatan Maulana as producers. Love Me Like You carries a typical 2000s R&B style with a music video featuring dance choreography by Hamada Abdul. Well, listener, let's enjoy the latest single by Rahmania Astrini, Love Me Like You. Enjoy!
I wanna tell you what I'm thinking about now. Doesn't matter what they say about us. You got me all in my feels. You got me head over heels for you, for you. There is nothing I wouldn't do. Don't worry, boy, 'cause me and you together sounds real good.
That's a wrap today's program of English service from Voice of Indonesia. If you have any feedback to send, you can send it to our email, voilisteners@gmail.com, or send a direct message, mention us on social media, Facebook fan page, The Voice of Indonesia, or Instagram at voi_official. Follow us as well on TikTok at voi_official and subscribe to our YouTube channel, VOI Official. And you can also reach us on WhatsApp +62 821 2381 2130, +62 821 2381 2130. So I'm Rahma signing out. Bye for now.